Hello and welcome to the 18th in a series of podcasts looking at BBKA Module 5 Honeybee Biology. This episode looks at the structure and function of some of the main parts of the bee, including the wings, legs, feet, antennae, mouth parts, and the setae or hairs. Supporting diagrams can be found alongside this podcast, and further information can be added using the sources listed in the BBKA reading list. Further information about the detailed structure and function of some of these parts can also be found in other podcasts in this series. In honeybees, there is a single pair of antennae originating from the head of the bee, which are split into segments. The first area, originating from the head, is the antennifer. This forms a ball and socket joint with the head, which is controlled by four muscles. The majority of movement of the antenna originates from here. This joint is similar to the hip or shoulder in humans. The first proper segment is the scape, which is also the longest. The scape forms a hinge joint with the next segment, the pedicel. This allows the antenna to flex or extend, similar to the elbow or knee joint in humans. The joint between the scape and the pedicel also houses the organ of Johnson, previously covered, and which is thought to determine wind speed or speed of flight. The subsequent segments are called flagella or flagellum if you are referring to a single one. There are 10 flagella in the worker or queen. The drone has 11 on each antenna. These have no muscles and cannot move independently of each other. The surface of the antenna is covered with sensilla, such as Placidia or Bassi conica, which are covered in the nervous system podcast in this series. However, they allow the antenna to detect chemicals through taste and smell, which are an important sense for the bee. The drone has a lot more of these on their antenna, especially on the terminal flagella. To give you some numbers, a drone antenna has around 30,000 placodia, whereas a worker has around 3,000 to 6,000, and a queen only has 1,600. This indicates the importance of the antenna in the detection of queen pheromones at drone congregation areas. Other sensilla may detect touch or other chemicals such as carbon dioxide. The mouthparts of a honeybee are complex, made of a number of separate parts. The upper lip is the labrum, and this covers the proboscis and a pair of mandibles. The mandibles have a variety of functions, including chewing anthers for pollen or wax manipulation, grooming of other bees, nibbling or biting sick or invasive bees. The ends of the mandibles differ in shape between the queen, worker and drone. The queen mandibles have a toothed appearance and are used for biting other queens. They also have deep grooves which allow mandibular secretions to run down, forming part of the queen substance. Worker mandibles are more spoon-shaped, possibly for holding regurgitated nectar or mixing brood food. Secretions from the mandibular glands will also run onto these. Drones have the smallest mandibles, probably because they have little use for them. The proboscis is formed from a series of interlocking structures, details of which can be seen on the supporting diagrams. The cardines, or spines at the top of the mouthparts, are attached to muscles and act as a lever, swinging the proboscis outwards when needed and backwards when not. The galea lock with the labial palps to form a tube down which the glossa runs. Saliva can run down the middle of the glossa, and by performing sucking motions using dilator muscles in the cibarium or mouth cavity, liquids such as nectar can be pulled up the tube. The flabellum at the end of the glossa is spoon-shaped and probably used to start the process of sucking up liquids such as water or nectar, or to moisten foods using the saliva. The whole proboscis is shorter in drones and queens compared to workers, possibly due to workers having to collect nectar from flowers. The lower lip or labium completes the mouth parts. There are two pairs of wings in honeybees, known as the fore and hind wings. The fore wings are larger than the hind wings. They originate from thoracic segments 2 and 3. There is a flap of cuticle covering the fore wing joint called the tegula. When needed in flight, the fore and hind wings at each side are locked together to form a single unit. This is done using around 20 hooks or hamuli, which are found on the anterior or forward face of the hind wing. They hook onto a channel present at the posterior or rear of the hind wing. This provides a large surface area over which air can flow, making flight more efficient. The wings themselves develop during the fifth molt and are extended by pumping hemolymph through the veins, expanding them into their final shape. The hemolymph drains out, leaving hollow veins which support the thin cuticle of the wings. The cuticle is covered in setae or hairs and controlled by the flight muscles, which will be discussed in the next podcast. When not in use, the wings are folded back over the abdomen of the bee and the hamuli are unlocked. The wings are obviously used for flight, but can also be used within the hive for temperature regulation. Fanning of the wings can create air currents through the hive to cool the interior or evaporate water. They can also be used to disperse hormones, such as those produced by the Nasenov gland. A honeybee has three pairs of legs, fore, mid and hind, originating from the three thoracic segments, T1, T2 and T3. The legs are made of segments, and between each segment is a joint, which makes them highly flexible. Starting from where they originate from the thorax, the segments are called coxa, trochanter, femur, tibia, five tarsus segments, the first of which can also be known as the basitarsus, and the pretarsus or foot. A mnemonic to remember the order of these could be: can trains follow timetables perfectly? Although you can make your own up if you want to. The legs are adapted for various functions, both in an individual bee and between workers and queens or drones. The foreleg has a groove formed from the tibia and basitarsus, which is covered by a flap known as the fibula, and also has straight hairs. The groove is just the right size to fit the antenna in, and this structure is therefore known as the antenna cleaner. You may see your bees drawing their antenna through this structure when cleaning. The midleg has a large spine originating from the distal end of the tibia. The function of this is unknown, but it has been speculated that it may be used in pollen packing. However, this would suggest it should only be present on workers, but it is found on all types of honeybees. The most modified leg in workers is the hind leg. This is very different from the structure of the queen or drone hind leg, as it contains the pollen basket, pollen comb and pollen press. As you can infer from this, the hind leg is used to pack and carry pollen back to the hive. The inner surface of the basitarsus is covered with nine lines of straight hairs or setae, which form the pollen brush. This can be drawn over the thorax and abdomen to collect pollen. The joint between the tibia and the basitarsus forms the auricle or pollen press, a flat surface where pollen can be compacted. Short, stout hairs forming the rastellum surround this surface to prevent pollen from being lost. The pollen is then passed up to the outer face of the tibia, which forms a concave surface called the corbicula or pollen basket. The pollen, moistened with saliva or nectar and compacted by the pollen press, is carried back to the hive on the corbicula or pollen basket. Naturally, the queen and drone lack these specialised structures. The foot or pretarsus of the leg ends in a pair of claws which are used to cling to surfaces. If the surface is smooth, an adhesive pad or aerolium is used. The claws are spread and the aerolium muscles pull this part of the foot downwards to make contact with the surface. Ceti or hairs have been mentioned before, but these can be found all over the bee's body and they can be straight or branched. The branched hairs, known as plumose hairs, are thought to trap pollen, but could be used to prevent particles from entering openings such as the spiracles. Straight hairs can be sensory, providing the bee with a sense of touch. Others may not be linked to nerve cells and may simply be there for physical reasons, for example those of the pollen press. Ceti can be found covering the surfaces of the head, thorax and abdomen, even between the ommatidia of the compound eye, and obviously have many functions. This has been a brief overview of some of the structures of the honeybee linked to their functions. Differences between queens, workers and drones has been highlighted, and it shows that some of the tools of the trade can be highly specialised. I hope you have enjoyed this subject, and I hope you can join me for the next episode.